Well, once again, good morning to everyone that's on the call and to all that may be listening in later. Good morning to you or good afternoon, wherever you may be. Welcome to another day of worship. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. God has been good to all of us. If we don't think it, just inhale and exhale. He allows that breath that we inhale and exhale and to be able to live. Without it, we would be dead. And it's his breath that is in our bodies. So we have something to be thankful for every single moment of the day. So as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, let's just be thankful that we are in the land of the living to share the good news to someone else, what God has done for us and what he's doing in our lives. Lord, we come this morning in the name of Jesus, thanking you for your grace and mercy. Thank you, Lord, that you love us beyond measure. You love us, Father, so much. And it's unconditional, Lord, because you just choose to. Thank you, Lord, that you're not like us. Based on what you do for me is when I love somebody. But, Lord, it's not the way you are. So, Lord, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you this morning. And we just pray, Father, as we begin to submit our will to you, Lord, that you would have your way today in our lives. That, Lord, your Holy Spirit will take over every aspect of this service. That, Lord, you would be glorified. That you would be lifted up. And, Lord, that the blessings would come down because praises are going up to you right now. Lord, we need you. We need you in every part of our lives. So, Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us until our cup runneth over. That, Lord, we also can just bless others as you pour out your blessings on us. We thank you this morning. Bless Jeanette as she brings forth your word that you've given to her, Father. Decrease Jeanette and allow your Holy Spirit in Jeanette to increase so that she'd bring forth a word that you have specifically for us today. We thank you for her willingness. We thank you for her faithfulness. We thank you, Lord God, for all the things that she is doing and she's bringing to us to learn, to understand, and to truly righteously divide the word of truth. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for planting your spirit in her from a long time ago. And, Lord, help us to have a hunger and a thirst for your word as well, to be able to do what you want done, not what we may choose to. Lord, thank you for all that are on this call. Meet the needs that they're coming with today, Lord God. You know what they are. Some may be filled with emptiness of just on this day that is so special to all mothers, but every day, Lord God. Lord, we just bless you today. And we praise you that you fill their hearts, fill their needs, fill their desires, Lord, that aligns with your word. And then bless the reader, Lord, as she brings forth your word through reading. Let your anointing fall afresh and anew there today, Lord God. Have your way, Father. Every ear that will hear, let them hear clearly, Lord. Let not the adversary block it. Let not our will, our flesh get in the way. But let your spirit take over, Father. Have your way today. And, Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We glorify you. And we ask for those that are not on the call, Lord, that would like to be the Lord, you'd touch them as well. Help them, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Well, today is, of course, Mother's Day, and as a result of that, I just thank the Lord that you guys are all on the call, and I thank the God for mothers, whether you are a mother of a birth, have birthed a child into the world, or you're a mother because you are a female, that you have touched someone's life, and that you are special. And, Lord, I just thank the Lord for everyone, and I pray in this Mother's Day that your heart would be filled with a joy that surpasses your own understanding, a peace that no one can give you but God, and that the love you would feel, that, Lord, the God of heaven and earth will pour out his love in your heart to just be filled with a joy beyond measure. So thank you, mothers, for being all that you are, all that you do, all that it is. Without you, there would not be life carrying on. So thank you, thank you, thank you, and bless you for your special way that you touch, you care for each and every family, not just in your immediate family, but outside of that as well. So thank you so much, mothers. And God be with you. God bless you. God keep you. In Jesus' precious name, I thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
You that was beautiful. Thank you, Richard.
Yes. Thank you, Richard.
Welcome. Praise God.
All right. We are going to get back to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter, and we're starting at the first verse.
Absolutely. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live in the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not a solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings?
Stop here.
Verse 5. Okay.
We'll stop there. So what are we dealing with Paul here? And who just joined us, we're in 1 Corinthians. We started at the first verse of chapter 3. What's going on?
Good morning.
Good morning, friend. So Paul, now we just came out of Paul talking about, you know, Christ crucified and spiritual wisdom and not having the wisdom of man or valuing it so much. And now he's saying here, I'm trying, because Paul has a way of, his letters go with rebuke and with exhortation. And those of you who are exhortators, you will find that there are times that the message isn't all good. And those of you who are prophets that tend to, you know, be constantly rebuking, you'll find that the messages are not all bad, because there's balance in the spirit. So Paul now is saying we've got an issue here. Now, Paul evangelized Corinth, and he established the church on the solid rock of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
And after Paul had done so, later on, Apollos comes. He's another apostle. And he comes and he strengthens, encourages, and continues to teach that church. So some people, you know, in the beginning, as Paul established the church in Corinth, so they only, you know, they're Paulites, if you want to call it. So they're gung-ho Paul, but there were fewer of them. Because when the church first started and first getting it established, it wasn't as many as later as the church grew. And Apollos comes, and now they're eating from Apollos' table. And Paul is trying to set something straight here. This petty strife and envy among them and division is not of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm bringing this up because we're still doing it today. We do it in our churches. Well, I like Pastor so-and-so, but more than I like the lead pastor. I mean, he's okay, but I really like this pastor and that. And we start causing division with, and am I saying that we don't have preferences?
No.
Of course you're going to have preferences. Someone that you learn from easier than maybe somebody else. But it shouldn't be causing division in churches. And I want to make this clear, because even though Second Chance is a ministry and it's to equip saints, and some of us will be part of a core of Second Chance that will continue to do like a machine what we'll be doing. But there's others that will go out into other churches. And these are the things you're going to see. Carnal behavior, babies in Christ. First of all, recognize what you're looking at. You're looking at immature Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And immature Christians cause all kinds of envy and strife and division and malice and gossip and garbage. It isn't because they're not saved And let's not be so quick to say, oh, they're the devil.
Amen.
This person's demon-possessed. Because I'm going to tell you something, demon-possessed and carnal Christian looks about the same.
Mm-hmm.
Ouch.
Really?
Yeah, they do the same things that somebody who does not know God does, and it's destructive to the kingdom. So the first thing you're going to think is, well, that's demonic activity. Sure it is.
Right, yeah.
Of course it's demonic activity because they're babies in Christ and they are not spirit-filled or spiritually mature.
Mm.
But these things should not be. And when you recognize it, so what should we do when we recognize this sort of thing in the church?
First thing is begin to pray.
Pray. Yeah, that's pray.
Okay. And admonish and tell them.
Sometimes that could be a problem.
Holy Spirit directs you. Yeah.
Yeah, if Holy Spirit is
directing
you, yeah. Go ahead, Zandra, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying I would never assume that role in the flesh. If I'm prompted by the Holy Spirit to direct that, you know, or approach that, then absolutely, but not out of flesh or automatic behavior. What were you going to add, Richard?
That prompted a question in my head is, then how would you know if the Holy Spirit is directing you to speak to someone? You feel that you see the need, but then how do you really know it's the Holy Spirit talking to you?
You know. If you're walking in the Spirit, you know. You will begin to speak words that are not of your own. That's been my personal experience. If it is an objective for you to meet, Ms. Jeanette can probably address that a little better than me.
I think that when we're growing in Christ and we're beginning to hear His Spirit and we're not really sure that this is for you to do, pray and wait, and I can't say it enough, throw out that fleece.
Mm-hmm.
Throw out mm-hmm. that fleece. Lord, if this is for me to say to this person, have them walk up to me.
Amen. Yes.
I cannot tell you how many times I've used and they come walking up to me like, what? What is it you want?
Yeah.
It's incredible. And some mm-hmm. of them will even walk up with fear of what's going to happen. It's amazing. But God will do it. He'll have a stranger come walking up to you. If you put out a fleece so that you know you're being led of the Spirit.
Amen.
It's so important in these matters to be led of the Spirit. So you recognize, so here we are, what do we do? We recognize that this is happening. First thing I want you to do is recognize what you're looking at.
Mm.
So that when you pray, you don't pray amiss.
Mm.
Lord Jesus, begin to pour out your Spirit on this congregation that they can grow in you.
Yes.
Lord, set up a standard against the division that I am seeing in this place.
Mm.
Lord, if you want to use me as a tool to diffuse it, have so-and-so come up to me and talk to me. And then I will trust, dear Lord, that you've given me the words to say.
Mm.
When this group goes out and begins to infiltrate churches that are maybe a little sick or a little poor in spirit or a little weak or carnal, when you come into a church, begin to pray for that church.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
That's what we come in with joy and thanksgiving and, oh boy, what do you have for me today? But there's a group being formed that comes in different. I'm part of that group. I believe most of you on this call are being raised up to be part of that group. When I walk into a sanctuary, the first thing I start doing is praying, binding any unclean thing that is in here today. Bind the spirit of sleep that's going to try to stop somebody from hearing what they need to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Or down and open up heaven and receive our praise. strengthen the pastor, whoever's speaking today. Fill him with your spirit today. This is what we come into church to do. I come in the church to strengthen the church through the power of the Holy Spirit walking in me.
Yes.
I had this happen in a church in Florida. The pastor, you could tell, just began to lose his way completely. I said, "Lord, get him on track."
Mm-hmm.
And immediately he snapped right back on track. It was so powerful that later they asked me, "Did you pray for me during this service? Because I was losing my way, and all of a sudden I got snapped back on track." They knew where it came. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. It's beautiful.
What I'm hearing then is that we are to pray intentionally, be intentional prayers, yeah. I should say. We have to be intentional. And that reminds me of when the people were fervently praying for Paul or Peter to be released, and they were intentionally praying for him, and he was released. So we have to just focus our prayers to be intentional prayers.
Amen. Understand that you're being filled with the Spirit. You're growing in Christ. Now, just because you're growing in Christ, that's not your license to go into a church and begin to point out all the faults and criticize what they are and they are not. We're here to build church.
Amen.
We're not problem identifiers. That's not what we're called to do. Yeah, I want you to recognize what you're looking at so that you can fix it through the Spirit of God in you. Mm-hmm. If you're not in there to help, then please don't even go. That's a tragedy.
Mm.
We're not here to just come in and we're the church police. The church is Christ.
Mm-hmm.
He's a solid rock. All we are laborers.
Mm-hmm.
And if a laborer is doing their job, as we're going to see later on in this chapter, you're going to see how that looks. Paul is setting a very, very good example here, but he's the apostle over this church. So he has the authority to talk to these people and tell them that they're carnal and that they're babies. And I thought you were a little older, but apparently not, because of all the strife and confusion and division that stays in here. Now you're fighting over, I'm with Paul, I'm with Apollos. You're not with anybody. You're supposed to be with Jesus Christ. Okay, keep going.
Sure. Verse 5. What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God has been making it grow. So neither one who plants nor the one who waters is anything but only God, who makes things grow. Amen.
Amen. Wow,
that's an amen for sure right there, yes?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Amen. Verse 8. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor. For
What is he talking about here? What Paul is doing, and I want everyone that is entering into ministry, and even if you don't know that that's where you're headed, most likely you are on one level or another. Paul is quickly diminishing himself. I don't care if you're an apostle, a teacher, a lay person, an evangelist, a pastor. Paul is diminishing himself. He's saying, who's Paul anyway, and who's Apollos anyway? Who are they? Mm. Absolutely nobody, because all we're doing is our job.
Only service.
I'm just the guy who comes in building the house. I'm the guy who comes in and does the plumbing. I'm just the guy who comes in and does the electrical. But the house belongs to God, and he's the one who's hired us all.
Mm.
He's the one who wrote up the plans.
Yes.
I'm just coming in doing my little small part. And that's what Paul wants us to see. Every one of us, sometimes we get too big in our own eyes.
Okay.
We start thinking highly of ourselves and thinking that the job you're doing is so important. Every job every one of us is doing is so important.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if it's vacuuming the sanctuary once a week.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's so important. It's so important.
Yes.
I have heard people talk about a church and say, wow, I come in there, and you can tell they didn't even vacuum. And I'm like, you come in here looking at the floor?
Yeah.
This is what matters to you? Whether or not, but if somebody's a baby in Christ and they're prone to, you know, strife, or they've got some OCD going on or whatever's going on, it should be clean. If a speck on the floor is going to cause somebody else to not be able to concentrate on what's coming out of the Word of God, well then, why can't it be vacuumed?
Mm-hmm.
And it's important, very important.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul is making this crystal clear. Okay, so somebody plants, somebody else waters.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But it's only God that's going to make it grow. You can plant and you can water till all day long and nothing will happen unless God touches it with his miraculous power. So next thing that we don't want to miss in this. Sometimes we are not going to be the person that sees it through.
Mm. Mm. Amen.
And that follows sometimes.
Yes, it is.
Well, mm-hmm. I've been ministering to this person for 6 years. I've been praying for them for 10 straight years. And then Jane from Spain pops up. Because you need Christ in your life. And next thing you know, their hands fly up. They fall to their knees and they're saved.
Yeah.
I find that a little disturbing, some of us do.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden we feel like, well, that person's getting all the glory for that person's salvation. How many people have come before doing the work?
Right.
Even grandparents. People have come before you doing the work. So we're all just a part of the process. And we're all just laborers.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And as high a position as you may think you have, it is the lowest. It is the lowest. Why am I saying that? Because the more that God has blessed you to be or have or gifted, the more obligation there is for you to use it and use it correctly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it isn't usually from above people, it's from behind people.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how things move. We're not here to drag something, we're here to push.
Mm.
And the person who has to do the pushing is where? Behind.
Mm-hmm.
Not in front. Okay, please continue.
Sure. Verse 9. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, or costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring the light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames.
Okay.
Continue?
No, there's a whole lot packed in that.
Yeah, it is.
That we have read a lifetime, some of us that have read our Bible since our youth or whatever, but I'm sure we've heard this passage over and over, and we kind of glaze over it, as if, okay, well, my works will be held to the fire and the motives mm-hmm. of the heart. Didn't he say something like that later about the motives or something and whatever? Let's talk about what mm-hmm. he's talking about here. Paul, again, is giving an illustration. He's the one laying the foundation, which is Jesus Christ.
Okay?
Where's Jesus Christ? Where is Jesus Christ? He ascended to the Father, and he commissioned his apostles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they were to go out and begin to establish the church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's Jesus' church, but they're the ones that have to lay the foundation for it. Why is that? Because there is no foundation yet. Jesus began the work, but the foundation didn't become complete, or the work wasn't complete and couldn't be completed until he ascended. But if he ascends, well then, how is he physically going to build the church? The church is going to have its foundation laid by the people that he prepared to do it. And that was the apostles. So another builds on it. What does that look like? Another builds on it. So here we have the church is being established, the church, the foundation of the church, that Jesus Christ mm-hmm. came to earth. He died. He rose. He conquered death. He conquered sin. This is the foundation. If you believe this, you will be saved if you repent. This is the foundation of the church. Now, mm-hmm. other people come along, and now if one builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, what do you mean build on this?
Physical structure on it? Or the, on the spiritual, could be spiritual or physical.
The brick and mortar of the, as a church? As
okay.
opposed to the temple of the church?
Yeah.
Right. The brick and mortar of the church. But what are we talking about? We're talking about, so the foundation, we have the foundation I just gave it. Foundation, Jesus came, died, rose again, Son of God, he is the Messiah, and he has conquered death and sin. And you repent, you're saved. This is the foundation. Well, what kind of things got built on that?
The characteristics of Christ. The characteristics.
Absolutely.
How to live on earth.
Absolutely. Now we're going to start building on that foundation, the characteristics of Christ. How mm-hmm. do we follow him? How do we treat one another?
Mm-hmm.
This is right. now the next person that comes in. The apostle has laid the foundation, and the next person is going to start adding to that. Now we're going to start building it up. Now, what do you think builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones versus wood, hay, and straw? What do you think that looks like? How do you see maybe in some churches where they have built with silver, gold, and precious stones? Go ahead.
Is it the rituals? Some of the rituals where we spend a lot. Some people have churches of gold-plated lecterns and glass windows with just the adornment.
Think solely spiritual right now.
I think it's the gold and silver is the solid word of God.
Amen.
So the gold and silver represents the solid word of God, and the hay and straw represents is not really, it's mixed with a whole lot of stuff that is not really built on the solid word of God. It's built on what feeling or thinking or wanting to do for that moment or for that time to uplift themselves.
That's absolutely correct. So
if
comes the minister, see the apostle has established the church, now in comes the pastor, and everything that is put in place is done by the leading of the Spirit, and it's solidly on the solid rock, and it's built on the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
solidly.
Mm-hmm.
But here we have somebody else who's building a church, and they've decided that we've got this church and lots of people, and we're going to spend a lot of time on foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do cheap dinners, and let's do a bunch of this, that, and the other. A bunch of nonsense is going on in there. And when it comes time to the word, to speak the Word of God, it's shallow and it's empty.
Mm.
And it's without substance, and it's without His Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no changing power. You're just erecting the building.
Right.
And the building is being erected, sure, your little congregation group.
Mm-hmm.
But what was the value? It's really just wood, hay, and straw.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the same as the denominations, the different denominations, and how they emphasize different parts of the Bible?
Okay.
Not necessarily. A lot of denominations are still solidly teaching the Word of God. They've added some of their personal rules that they thought mm-hmm. would be helpful in forming the character of Christ in their people.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them, like, say, the Unitarians, they just took the whole concept of Jesus Christ and then they just flipped it into your God and everything else, just a bunch of garbage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's not so much denominational as just look at it as the church as a whole.
Oh,
and some of them, that churches that have been established are solidly on the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And other churches, not so much. We're going to bring in contemplative prayer. We're going to start chanting. We're going to teach our people to chant instead. We're going to bust up mm-hmm. a spirit moment of praise and worship, and we're going to add contemplative prayer when it goes into a silent place.
Wow.
Or off to a beach in their mind or whatever we're leading them into. Now we're just adding garbage. Keep mm. going.
Verse 16. Do not know that. Sorry?
Okay. I moved too fast. If anyone's work which he's built on endures. So in that day, what's going to happen? God is going to try and see. Now, this is the work of the church. I'm going to flip it in a minute. This is the work of the church. Now, what about the work in our lives? See, we see the building of the church, we're getting that, and that's what Paul is addressing. But the church is even being built by individuals all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Are you teaching solid Word of God?
Mm.
Are you living in a way that leads people strongly to Christ?
Mm.
Amen. Amen.
Because these are your works, buddy. Not everybody's a pastor. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's an apostle. So, but everybody is going to be judged on that day. And their works mm-hmm. are going to be tried. So what do your works look like?
Mm-hmm.
Is it shallow? Mm-hmm. Is it full of any substance?
Good question.
And what does an individual's work look like? How about start with your kids?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Are you into them so they will grow up with love and admonition for the Lord so that they're solidly grounded? If that's not a precious stone, I don't know what is.
Yes. Hallelujah.
This is not just for Mother's Day. This is mothers, fathers, anybody else that can pour into people. Have you poured mm-hmm. into them the right principles, or have you mingled it? Have you said, oh, gee, well, you know, I believe in this church thing, but don't get too far into it. I mean, it's good for networking, and you know, I believe in God.
Mm.
Is that the kind of testimony that you share?
Mm-hmm.
But ain't nothing wrong with doing a little this and that on the side. I mean, I'm just saying, people take it too far. What kind of foundation are you putting in that person? These are the works you're going to be held to. Oh, I'm dedicated to building the kingdom, and I'm dedicated to building this organization, that organization, and this organization, and that organization. and therefore, I really, you know, my dedication to the kingdom is kind of watered down a bit because I'm very busy with 15 other organizations.
Mm-hmm.
What is that going to look like when the Lord on that day says, what did you invest in?
Amen.
What is that going to look like? Well, I did put, he said, that's equivalent to straw for crying out loud. Hmm. As soon as I put the fire to it, there's nothing. It goes straight up.
Smoke.
Because anything other than the kingdom of God isn't going to last.
Amen. Amen.
So what are you putting your time, your effort, and your strength into? Because we're going to end up answering for that.
Yes, Lord.
And then he says, if your work is burned up because it was half, you know, find a better word than what jumps, what is half done,
mm-hmm.
half baked, not complete.
Not baked at all.
Or not baked at all. When this happens and we stand before the Lord and our works are going to be tried by fire, is what you put in to this work that you say you do for the Lord, is what you put in, did it last? Is it was it of substance? Was it of value? Or was it garbage? And even though it stands, sure, it's made of wood. It stands. It's a nice little propped up place. But when the fire hits it, it can't. Because only what endures is the gold, silver, and precious stones. So what does that mean for you? Are you lost? Is the Lord going to say, you know what? Your work on earth was terrible. You were fragmented. You were all over the place. You wouldn't reel it in. You never gave me your heart. Your heart was all over the place. Everything else was more important. I didn't get 3%.
Ouch.
Of all that I had given you, and I'm not talking money. I'm talking about gifting. I'm talking about health, strength, the breath you breathe today.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
How much of that breath that you breathe is given back to him?
Amen.
We don't see it that way. All we see is our little bitty resources. Well, I'm trying to, you know, block off my little 10%, but, you know, I can't do that this month. But anyway, that's where we see our contribution. Our contribution is every breath that we take, because everything that he's given us, we should be giving back 10% or 8%, whatever he gives you to give back.
Yes, Lord.
But do we give him back any of it? Is there days that go through that his name isn't even on your lips?
Come on now.
But you used all up that oxygen.
Come on now.
All that breath of life that he gave you that day, was there anything from you that day that came back to him?
Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus.
Amen. Preach.
That's just breath. We haven't gotten to opportunities all around to touch other people's lives or bless somebody. Did you even fix and part your lips to say thank you, Lord, this morning?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Can you find that much time? And we're going to be held accountable for all of what we've invested in here and what we brought to the table.
Yes.
Yeah, pastors, they're building, and it better be the word of God. It better be solid and this, that, and the other. Mm-hmm. How about just everybody, anybody who claims? So what happens? What happens if your work is all burned up?
You won't hear the word good and faithful servant. Job well done.
Yep, amen.
I love what he says in verse 15. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. But he himself will be saved.
Hallelujah.
Yet so as through fire. And yet as so through fire. What does that mean? You'll be saved.
Yep.
But it will be without any of the benefits
Yeah.
That should have been accompanying you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay. That's something that we shouldn't take so lightly. Continue.
Hold on a second.
Oh, Richard.
Sure. Oh, go ahead, Richard.
That was one thing that she was saying that which really hit me, is because it seems like the devil, it has a haunting way of talking to us, and he will tell us, like, well, I don't have much. I'm not gifted to talk. I'm not gifted to pray. I'm not gifted to do all of those things. And so I don't have much to offer. I don't have much. So what do I do? And I think Jeanette just answered that.
Well, okay. Since Richard's got to turn that and take that top off, that immediately brought me to that parable. One,
yeah.
I gave 10 talents. One, I gave 5. One, I gave 2.
Yep.
And then the Lord comes back and says, so, hey, what'd you do with what I gave you?
Mm.
With 2. Well, I know you're a hard man. And that you reap where you have not sown. And you gather where you have not. Uh-huh. So I took your 2 talents and I buried it in the ground.
Mm.
And the Lord said, what an unfaithful servant. He didn't say he wasn't a servant. I want you to hear that. He didn't say, hey, unfaithful random person. Unfaithful, unsaved jerk. No.
Yeah.
He said unfaithful servant. That means this person knew enough to serve the Lord and was given talent.
Mm-hmm.
That's a wicked person, someone who's known the Lord, knows who he is, but refuses to serve him.
Mm-hmm.
Refuses to give him back anything for what he's given him. Totally on the take. I know God, and I pray for this, and I get that, and I pray for this, and I get that, and I have all the benefits that God has given me, but I give nothing back to him. I don't take the strength and the talents that he's given me and use it for anything that edifies anyone but myself benefit me or not that interested. Do you know Christians like that?
Oh, yeah.
I do too.
Mm-hmm.
But what is really touching here is the Lord still called him a servant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he will suffer for that.
Mm-hmm.
He will suffer for that.
Mm.
He said, take this man, give the 2 talents he has to the guy who has 10, and this guy, take him away to where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Mm.
Cool.
It's not going to feel too good at that moment when we stand before the master. Keep going.
Verse 16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. For God's temple is sacred. And you together are that temple. Do not deceive yourself. Yes, would you like to speak? Sure.
Yes, please.
I stop. Yes.
Adel. Okay, so do you not know that you're the temple? And it's interesting because it says in your midst, the original is that he dwells in you. And he's around you all the time. And we don't have the right to destroy that temple because that is the tool that he uses to do the work. Destroy your body with all these different substances that are designed to do so. Become so big you can't even get out of bed. Now you've got sores because you can't even move in the bed and nobody can move you because you're 600 pounds. There's a lot of ways we destroy the temple and we don't recognize that we're destroying the temple.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you destroy the temple and defile the temple, God will destroy that person. In other words, keep doing something you shouldn't be doing. Alcoholic Christian, keep drinking. You will get sclerosis of the liver.
Mm.
We're not going to be exempt the consequences of what we do to our body.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you know it's the temple of God? So what does God do? Does he come and, you know, take a lightning rod and strike you? No. He lets the consequences come. That's how you're destroyed. You're destroyed because the consequences are coming. You have no business defiling the temple, putting stuff in there that has no business putting in there. How else do we defile the temple?
With our words? With our words?
That's coming out of the temple, but yeah, it's quite defiling.
Mm-hmm.
If you're supposed to be a tool in the hand of God to bring hope and salvation, you know, cursing out your neighbor is not exactly how you get there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not bringing hope and salvation. And you're supposed to be a tool in the master's hand.
We defile the temple by what we see.
Oh, and that's a huge
part. That too. Yeah, what we look at, for sure.
That's huge. What we let into the window of our soul defiles the temple. Unchecked thoughts at the door defile the temple. What we listen to, not just thoughts, but what we listen to. Some music is so foul. Some jokes are so horrible.
Mm-hmm.
You've got comedians that have such a potty mouth, and you're just soaking it in because it's funny.
Mm-hmm.
Is God okay with that when he says to refrain and don't let profanity be part of you, and yet you just soak it in, and it's so funny?
Yeah,
but it's funny, so I listen regularly.
Lord, forgive us.
All these ways we defile the temple. And yet we got to just keep coming back, ask for forgiveness, ask him to cleanse us. That's what communion is about. Because even just driving down the highway, you'll look up and see a billboard that just defiled your temple. So we're in a place where we're constantly, you know, trying to sidestep mud puddles, miry clay. And if you don't recognize what it is, it'll sink you like quicksand.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
But God.
But God.
Okay.
Amen.
Next verse, next 18.
Sure. Verse 18. Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools so that you may become wise. Wow, that's something. For the wisdom of this book,
Just for a minute.
Yes.
If any of you, don't deceive yourself. If you're wise by the standards of this age, what does that mean?
By the wisdom of this world, time. The knowledge, the education, all the stuff that there should be, and how the world is functioning. You come become wise by this age.
By the standard.
Or by this world. By this world, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the standard of the world.
Yeah.
And yet we, our youth, are encouraged to seek education.
Mm-hmm, sure.
But he's saying, let him become a fool that he may be. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness with God.
Yes.
What does that look like? Does that mean just ignore everything you've learned?
No.
No.
Tell me what it looks like to become a fool so that you may become wise.
I think it means that it's where you, the things that, how the world operates and how the world functions, that when you disagree with that according to the Word of God, it makes you look like, makes them think that you're a fool because you're not agreeing with how they operate. You're not agreeing with what they're doing because it doesn't stand up to the Word of God. So to the eyes of the world, you become a fool, and you may feel like you're a fool because they're saying everything is right, and you know the Word of God says, no, that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Let me give an example. Here's an example. You have earned you're money. In a high position on your job.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing well and floating along, and somebody comes along and tells you, well, if you want, you can be you can have your supervisor's job. You can get the manager's job. You can be CEO. Let me just tell you what you need to do to do it. And what you need to do it involves stabbing somebody else in their back. But that's the way of the world. Get over it. That's how you get where you're going. So they say, hey, all you need to do is pull the covers down on this, and that's going to get them fired, and you're next in line.
Yeah.
And you're saying, well, that sounds pretty good. I can get there. You know, that's a big increase, and it's their fault. They shouldn't have been doing that in the first place. So why not expose them if it'll further my career?
I get a different take on that. It seems like the Word is telling us to be humble in the world's eye, like the lady who wiped Jesus' feet with her tears or her hair. You know, they looked at her and said, "Is she crazy?" And like the like when somebody slaps you, you're supposed to turn the other cheek. He's a fool. Look at him. I would hit him in the face. To me, it seems like he's saying, become weak so that God can fill you up. Become empty, you know.
Right. But and those are great examples of the opposite of the world, you know, that she would take precious perfume and wash his feet.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's the one.
But here we're talking specifically about worldly wisdom, and that is, it certainly applies. And here Paul is asking the saints not to align themselves with the way of the thinking of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Don't align yourself with that. And then you will look like a fool. For her to take $200 and throw it on his feet, she's a fool. She's a fool, straight up fool. And you will look like that.
Yeah.
And he's saying that's more important. Or keep going, Zandra.
Sure. Verse 19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows that the thoughts of the wise are futile. So
exactly.
Then. Yeah. So
stop
then.
Right there.
Sure.
He catches the wise in their own craftiness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
People trying to connive and get around and do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
They're very crafty.
I know the husband and wife that pretended they didn't have any money and they both died. Remember that story in the Bible?
Right. They weren't being crafty. They just wanted benefits, and their faith wasn't there yet. That's the story in Acts with Sapphira and her husband, and they lied about giving all the money from the sale of their property. But that was something a little bit different, because that was more about trying to appear one way when they weren't there in their faith yet.
And they lied to the Holy Spirit.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. But he's talking about catching the wise in their own craftiness. People that think that they're so smart that they can get it, but they're going to get it a different way than the right way.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get it by the standards of this world, which might involve stepping on people and crushing people and stomping over. Crafty.
Or setting mm-hmm. them up to
fail. Worse, right. Setting other people up to fail just so that they, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord mm-hmm. knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. You think you're so smart, but it's going to lead to nothingness.
Yeah.
Because once again, everything you're investing in, your whole heart is wrapped up in the world,
mm-hmm.
trying to meet what the world says is success
mm-hmm.
at any cost. And you don't really care how you get there, because as long as somebody's going to come across and say, oh, you are very successful, well, there.
There it is.
And that is going to lead to nothing, because again, only what you do for Christ is going to last, and this life passes quickly.
Amen.
So you spent your whole time conniving and sneaking and doing things any kind of way so that you can have this, that, or the other, whatever it is you're reaching for. And some people, it isn't always material.
Mm.
Sometimes they're just looking for the admiration of other people.
Right.
They're looking for honor and praise.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll do anything to get it.
Amen.
Yeah, it's sad. It's so sad,
and then
isn't
it? It's brutal. Number one, all honor and praise belongs to God. And it's not going to last, because guess what? Whatever you achieve, somebody else is going to achieve it better.
Yeah.
So as soon as you get to that little glass ceiling that you think is so important, up mm-hmm. will walk somebody else and say, oh, so you bought a 52-foot yacht? Wow, because my husband just bought a 152 yacht.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the way the devil does it. First, once you've given over your heart to materialism or the praise of this, you've given your heart over to it, and that's what you reach for constantly, what you'll find is it never is enough, because it's never enough with somebody else.
Enough.
Yeah, and as long as somebody has more, you haven't arrived.
Yeah. Ooh, preach that.
So what have you been chasing but the wind?
Hmm.
Hmm.
Amen.
Okay.
Good. Sure. Okay. 21. So then, no more boasting about human leaders. All things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world of life or death or the present or the future, all are yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In other words, we don't have to be worrying and reaching and trying to compare, and complain.
Thank God.
Because all that is the Father's is you are part of that inheritance.
Yes, praise
God. So just rest in Him and let Him use you down here for the short season you're here. Let Him use you. Let Him have your life and use it for His glory. Stop with the gotta have. Stop with the trepidation over the future. All that your heavenly Father has is yours.
Mm. Thank you, Lord.
Now and in the future.
Thank you, Lord.
Now and in the world to come.
Amen.
Yes.
Rest in that and let God give and use you for His glory, not yours.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord, blessing to the reading of His word. Thank you for those who joined us today, and have a wonderful Sunday. We're going to close in prayer. Who's on the call? Tammy, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm on the call.
Good.
Michael's on the call.
Michael, are you on the call?
I am.
Yeah, I'm here.
Would you close us in prayer?
Hi, Michael.
All right. All right, dear Lord, thank you for everything that you're doing and everyone on the call. Please let your word hit the spot that they're supposed to. Thank you for all the wonderful mothers. Thank you for my mother and all the stuff you poured into her and she poured into us. Thank you. Cool. Amen.
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 Amen. Happy
Mother's Day.
You too. Thank you. See you Wednesday. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye, everyone. I knew Michael's on it.